Welcome to the Unstuck and Unstoppable podcast, where our goal is to help you move your life forward. Today, we're going to talk about how to build a marriage that lasts. I'm your host, Jim Kiles, and I'm here with Jolea Garza.
Yes, looking forward to today.
Yeah,
the topic.
It's going to be great.
Absolutely.
So needed. Mm-hmm. So we want to welcome you if you're here joining us. It's going to be a great, great day talking about marriages. How do you build a marriage that lasts?
Man, it's the million-dollar question, isn't it?
It is. You know, statistics today really are grim when it comes mm-hmm. to the success of marriages.
Yeah.
And you and I have the privilege. We pastor here at Anchor Bend. And just the heartbreak of what happens when you are dealing with the devastation of a divorce,
right.
of a couple who split up mm-hmm. and are no longer together.
Yep.
And there are lots of reasons why that happens.
Mm-hmm.
And what we want to do is just today really equip people. Hey, how do you build a marriage that lasts?
Absolutely.
So those who are listening today, whether you're married and you want to continue to work on the marriage that you have, maybe you're not married, but you say, hey, I'd like to figure out how do you do this?
Dating, maybe you're engaged.
That's right.
Yeah, and trying to set yourself up well.
Yeah, so today we're excited about it. Now, the whole premise of this message came out of a study that I read. It was through Harvard. There was a study that read, and it was fascinating, the stat that only one out of 1,246 couples will get a divorce if they do three simple things.
Wow.
It's fascinating,
just
right?
Just three?
Just three. Well, and it was a fascinating study because, you know, the typical divorce rate is 50%.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you're in church, whether you're religious, whether you're not religious, whether you're out of church.
Yep.
I mean, it's really just the statistics across the board.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was fascinated that, number one, their research shows that there are some things that you can do to minimize divorce.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's where the idea came from. And, hey, what are we going to do? How do we help people build marriages that last? And so we're going to talk about going back to the basics.
I love it.
Because there were three things, and really the basic things that we do or can do to help ensure that our relationship, our marriage, doesn't end up as a statistic.
Yeah, 100%.
And as we dive into that, there's a couple of things that I want to just start and begin with. Number one, we believe that marriage was created by God, the institution of marriage.
Correct.
And so for us, we want to always point back to God. The one who created it is the one who's going to be able to help us live effectively with it,
mm-hmm.
develop it, cultivate it,
and
build it. So that's the first thing. It's really God's idea. So what are we going to do? We're going to go back to what God says.
That's great.
The second thing is, and I think it's important for people to really understand this, and especially if you're not married yet, we need to know that marriage doesn't change you.
Come on.
It only amplifies the way it finds you.
This is always such an interesting statement. I've heard it a few times. And when you look at things like the pandemic and just how I even, you know, getting married during the pandemic, I was like, oh my gosh, am I really this? Like being married didn't just make everything fall into place. It actually just put a finger on every area that I needed a little bit of healing in or needed to work on, and made you really look in the mirror for sure.
For sure. Well, it's so special. I was actually just thinking about those that don't know Jolea and her husband. During the pandemic, you guys were engaged.
Yep.
Before the pandemic, then the pandemic happens and you literally said, PJ, hey, we want to get married. We're not going through this social distancing.
We are going to live together during this pandemic.
So y'all literally came into my office.
We got married on a Wednesday.
Yeah, then we had
Zoom.
Zoom. Everybody's on Zoom.
And oh, my
goodness. What a precious moment. How long have you guys been married now?
3 years. We'll be married 3 years, March 18th.
Wow.
So in just a week or two.
So you totally understand the fact that it doesn't change you.
Yeah. No, just you got stuck in a house together. Yeah. And then it's just you got to figure it out. There's no time apart. Yeah. For sure.
Wow. Yeah. Well, and it really goes to, here's what I would say. If you struggle with things before marriage and you didn't find healing or resolution, you're going to struggle with it when you get married. In other words, marriage is not your solution.
It's great.
To the problems that you're facing in life, what you're going through in life. It really amplifies. And that's where the divorce rate is so high, because you hear things like the old Jerry Maguire movie, which if you're you know, I know Jolie, you don't have a clue what I'm talking
about. I watched
about,
the scene though. I have did seen you? The okay. scene now. I needed to
Tom
know.
Tom Cruise walks out and he's, you know, got his fish, who's coming with me. The whole show is really great. But by the end of it, it's him falling in love. Mm-hmm. And the premise is that there's a whole saying that says, "You complete me."
Yep.
In that movie where you don't complete anybody.
Right.
As a person, you should be a whole person walking into a whole relationship with another whole person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so that fallacy of, hey, whatever's broke, someone can help fix.
Correct.
Is just a fallacy. Mm-hmm. It's not accurate.
It's great.
And it's destructive. So in other words, if you struggle with rejection before marriage, you're going to struggle with rejection after you get married.
Right.
And many times even more so, because now you're disillusioned.
Mm-hmm.
You thought, well, this person will love me unconditionally. They will embrace me unconditionally. And they do to some extent, but the rejection issue is not really even with them. It's within yourself. So even the things that they're not intending to do to hurt you will hurt you, because they're not the problem, you are.
Exactly.
And it goes down to selfishness and anger and, I mean, any dysfunction that we really have not dealt with and any pain and trauma is amplified.
I think about the difference between a scar and a scab.
Yes.
And so a lot of us walk around with relational scars. And when you have a scar, if you bump it the wrong way or touch it the wrong way, it peels off. It's still a scar. No, it's a scab.
Scab, yeah.
Yes. So a scab. And then a scar is visible. But if you touch it,
it doesn't
there's
hurt.
No impact. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's what we're looking for is just, can we have relational scabs scars where you can see it, but
yeah,
when you touch
100%.
It, it doesn't
hurt. Well, and that's where the scars, we're not asking people, when you've got something that has happened in the past, relational trauma, childhood trauma, whatever, you ought to be able to look at it and say, hey, I've been through it too, but it didn't kill me.
Right.
It's and good. You can point to it and say, well, man, I found a way to have it heal and then help people lead to the healing.
Yeah.
But the scab is it's still painful to the touch. And that's what happens when people get triggered.
Yeah.
There, someone has touched the pain.
It's
and
triggered.
Instantly that inner wound, that child that was wounded shows up in the present reality.
Yeah.
So it's important for you to realize that marriage amplifies you, doesn't fix you.
That's good.
And happy marriages take a lot of work.
100%.
A lot of work. Mm-hmm. And I'm reminded of the story of an old couple. They were an elderly couple. They've been married for 60 years and they'd never had an argument or a crossword, and they were at a church function and someone asked them, hey, what is the secret to the success of your marriage? And the man said, you know, I always treated my wife with respect, and we took trips all the way, you know, all around the world. And he said, in fact, for our 25th wedding anniversary, we actually took a trip to Beijing, China. And everyone applauds. They're like,
wow,
oh, that's amazing.
So cool.
Wow. And then someone said, well, what did you do on your 50th wedding anniversary? And he said, well, I went, picked her back up.
That's great.
Not how you make a happy marriage.
It's one way.
And pick them up 25 years.
That's awesome.
I read that joke. Yep. I was cracking
smart
up.
Smart man.
No, don't do that. So, but there are some things that you can do to create a happy marriage. And these come out of the statistics or the stats from the study of Harvard University, which I found so fascinating. The first one, and we're saying going back to the basics because these are simple things that are foundational that many times we miss because we want something that's a little more ooh and awe and deeper.
Advanced.
But, you know, if you ever play sports, the sports teams that win, whether it's basketball, football, soccer, are not the ones that have trick plays, that are not the ones that even necessarily have a plethora of plays, like a whole bunch. Mm-hmm. It's the ones that do the basics really, really well.
Yeah.
Now, if you're playing basketball, you got to dribble well. You got to pass well. You got to shoot free throws well. You know, there's things that you do, rebound well. You you don't need to do all the fancy stuff. Just do what you do and do it really, really well,
so
the
good.
Basics. And the study found the three things. The first one is this, and it's so simple, it's almost, especially if you're a believer, is that number one, pray together.
Wow.
Pray together. Isn't that fascinating?
Yeah. It's interesting, though, because a lot of times this is something that we've missed. And,
right.
And we've been Christians all of our lives. And so it's so interesting that that's one of the ones.
So people
that
will have a prayer life,
A personal prayer life.
They've got a relationship with God. and they're praying for their spouse. Many people will even pray for the spouse. But the thing that people miss mm-hmm. is not just praying for them while you're praying in your own individual prayer time, but it's really, hey, let's pray together. Let's start our day, end our day, something once a day. Mm-hmm. Hey, we're going to pray together. And the thing that I love about praying together is it allows you to hear what's on the heart of your spouse.
So good.
You know, and then to be able to pray for them while they hear it. And it is so, so powerful. Mm-hmm. And yet people miss it. And I always encourage people, anybody who's struggling in your marriage, you know, maybe you're in a tough time. And I want to encourage you, if you're in a tough season right now, that's normal.
It's good.
Like marriages and relationships have ebbs and flows. And there are moments where you focus a lot on your marriage and sometimes where it's just on autopilot. And the more autopilot your life is on, your marriage is on, the more trouble you'll end up in. Mm-hmm. And so to be proactive and say, hey, look, we're not going to live on autopilot. We're going to pray every day. I want to encourage you, if you'll spend 21 days and say, we're going to start our day off and we're going to pray together and find time to either start your day off, call each other at lunch, or end your day, but do it every single day. I promise you in 21 days, if you just prayed together daily, would make a radical, radical shift.
That's a great
in your
habit.
Marriage. Yeah, it's simple. Second, go ahead.
Yeah, I just thought it was really funny. You told a story a while ago about you and Pastor Phyllis and how sometimes, you know, in the past with passionate conversations, she's so sweet and she'd say, hey, let's pray together during this. And I feel like that's just super funny.
Yeah, really, so I was just saying, you know, one of the things when you have a heated conversation or you get a little passionate and we have found that really everything is spiritual, and it really is. And there are moments when you get heated or passionate that you stop really thinking correctly or assessing the situation correctly. And of course, there are some scientific data as to what happens when you get escalated. Mm-hmm. But the greatest thing that we found is if you'll pause, one of you will say, hey, let's pause. Let's just take a second. Let's just pray real quick.
Mm-hmm.
How it just resets the room.
So good. Yeah, it forces an atmosphere shift.
It forces. And you don't want to. There's times she'll say, let's pray. I'm like, I don't want to
pray.
But the power that prayer brings in the relationship is powerful.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
That was great.
Second thing is we're going to discuss the Bible together daily. So not only are we going to pray together, and I found it fascinating that Harvard would even say that in the study, but the foundational impact and the beneficial impact that takes place in a relationship when you, because a lot, you know, if you're a devout follower of Jesus, you're reading your Bible, but to then discuss what you've read, discuss it and talk about it. And even I always recommend, you know, do a devotional together,
right?
You know, so spend 5 minutes together,
that's really great.
Do a devotional together. If you can't do that, then read it and then come back together, or call each other and say, hey, how did your Devo go today? What did you learn? What did you discover? And you'll begin to talk about the thing that the epiphany, the idea, whatever it was that you discovered. And it's fascinating that as you talk about it, that idea works its way inside of you.
Yeah. That's really great. And I even think, you know, we always want to prioritize doing things with our spouses. You know, you have to have date night or you want to do a hobby together.
Right.
But it's so interesting to go back to the basic of,
yes,
do you even consider, you know, reading the Bible together, or doing a devotional together? And that is such a great foundation and something that we definitely should be doing together at all times. And so I thought that was really a great note.
Well, and the thing I love about these two, think about that. You said something which was great, date night. We work hard to go on a date night every week, but sometimes you can say, well, I ain't got no money. You know, I remember we first started out, it's like, man, we didn't have no money to go on a date night. So then you got to be creative. We're going to do a picnic. We're going to do a walk. But both of these require no money and very little time.
Yeah. And there's nothing better that you could do together.
That's right. And you recenter your life and you're inviting God into the center of the marriage. And I'm telling you, here's what's fascinating. You do these three things in 21 days, your marriage is going to be in a radically different spot. And here was the third thing. And I found this fascinating, but I'm going to say it. And let me tell you another statistic that I read through Harvard as well. But it's attend church together.
Yeah.
So a worship experience together, a service weekly together. So in other words, in 52 weeks, I'm going to show up on Sundays and we're going to go to church together. The research that was conducted, it's at Harvard, their Human Flourishing Program, that here's what it found. Regularly attending church services together reduces a couple's risk of divorce by a remarkable 50%.
Wow.
Just showing up together.
Wow. 50%. Walking in the building.
Walking in the building, sitting down.
Wow.
Listening to a message, worshiping and singing songs together, and then leaving, just showing up. 50%.
Wow.
And here's what I found was fascinating. It involved 66,000 participants in a 14-year study.
Wow.
And so somebody says, man, we're struggling right now. One of the first said, well, we can't pray together. You know, we're absolutely not doing a Devo together. Can you just go to church?
Yeah. Yeah.
Just start
show up to
there.
The same spot together.
Just, hey, four times a month, five times a month, I'm going to go and show up on a Sunday with a, you know, with my spouse and how that will impact your life. And you can see, that's why we say going back to the basics. Then I love what Psalms 127:1 says, unless the Lord builds the house, its builders labor in vain.
Wow. Yeah.
And so what are we doing? We're putting God first. We're saying, God, we recognize that you created the institution of marriage and that I am in a place right now, if you're not in a crisis, then you want to continue to proactively build your marriage so you don't get in a crisis. Don't wait until you guys are, the marriage is falling apart, you're in crisis, you're headed for divorce. Like right now, institute these three basic things. And what we know is that your marriage is going to end up differently than those who have ended up in divorce. I mean, it's a statistical fact of the impact of these three basic things. And so I thought it was important for us to bring back the basics.
Yeah, I love it. It's just the God first foundation really is what it boils down to. And I love that Harvard came out with that study. And
it's fascinating.
All of the statistics is super cool to see.
Well, and I want to encourage you, maybe you're listening today and you say, well, I'm not even a Christian or a believer. First off, I would encourage you to begin to investigate Christianity and Jesus as an answer and the answer to your life and get plugged into a church, get plugged into a community of believers. One of the things we say here at our church is you don't have to believe to belong. So in other words, just show up and then let God just touch you. I was reminded even last week, we actually had an atheist fill out a card and say, hey, I'm an atheist.
But looking, searching.
I'm searching. My family and I are searching.
Yeah.
And I thought, man, that's powerful.
Exactly.
And you're in the right place.
Absolutely.
And for everyone else, I hope this is a reminder of how simple it is to keep your marriage on track. And remember, what's our goal is to move your life forward. And so implementing these basic principles in your marriage so that you build a marriage that will last. I want to encourage you, if today's content impacted you, if you enjoyed it, we want to encourage you to do a couple of things. Would you rate the podcast? It always helps us. If you'll rate it, give us a good rate and review. Second thing is if you'd share it.
Yeah. Share it with a friend or a family member, somebody that you think that this podcast would impact and affect in a positive way.
Yeah, and then if you would subscribe, that way it comes directly to your inbox each and every time content is uploaded to the podcast. And then also, hey, if you haven't already done so, I want to encourage you, go to jimkiles.com. You can order my new book, Unstuck and Unstoppable. They also have it on amazon.com. We've got the Audible version, the Kindle version, any version you want. And again, it's to help you get unstuck and become unstoppable. Can't wait until next week to spend more time together. Bye-bye.